We rise. And now may this true body and blood of Christ strengthen you and preserve you in faith unto life everlasting. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, and the peace of the Lord be with you always." Merciful Father, teach us to pray with persistence because you love us and you always provide for us and you promise to give justice to your elect who cry out to you day and night. Grant us faith that trusts you in all circumstances. Remove from us the desire for earthly treasures at the expense of heavenly ones. And guide us by your Spirit into contentment and generosity. Because you neither slumber nor sleep, deliver us from evil. Especially we implore you to reassure those who are faced with sickness, injuries, and troubles that you are present with them always. We remember especially those who have requested our prayers, including those who are grieving the death of loved ones, the family and friends of Ann Sherwood Clippert, a friend of the Bateses, and the family and friends of baby Sylvia, daughter of the Schutz's niece and nephew, Christina and Evan Schutz. Fill these grieving hearts with reassurance and comfort and peace. Father, we pray for those who are recovering or facing health concerns. Robert Waldron, Trevor Sullivan, Scott Pariseau, Jasper Sugg, Laura Anderson, Paul Cobb, Grace Whitelaw, Susan Hollingsworth, Bob and Linda Goldthorpe, Lenore Stevens, Etta Unruh, Jane Tylenda, Pat Nels, Bob and Ann Minock, Marilyn Stargard, Barbara Peterson, Bev Holzing, Richard Cobb, Carol Laramie, Cloyce Horton, Rose Laramie, Ron Ging, Gloria Peterson, Helen Hotaki, Betty Owens, Cheryl Timlin, and Jesse Cobb, Ann Harper and Mike Schinnebarger, Diane Gasper, Dick Bergstrom, Mary DeVaris, Tom Gray, Gary Kane, John and Eunice Smith, Ian, Heather, and Dick. And Father, we pray for those who are in hospice care, Eileen Ging, Mr. Cagle, and Ron. Grant them peace and faith as they await your call home. We continue to pray for the president and all local and world leaders. Grant them wisdom and good judgment. Pray for the men and women serving our nation in branches of the military. And today, Lord, we pray for all those who are celebrating birthdays and wedding anniversaries. Watch over them and continue to bless them. And we give you thanks for the flowers at the altar given by the Keel family in loving memory of Joseph Caparuccio, and those at the lectern given by Barb and Dennis Murphy, who celebrate their 14th wedding anniversary. We thank you, Lord, for those who are sponsoring the family of God's Soup Kitchen, the Wolf, Cowger, and Grove families. To your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father,
grace to you and peace from God our Father,
and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation and reflection on this Faith Promise Sunday is today's Old Testament reading recorded in Exodus chapter 23. Dear friends in Christ, our Lord's ancient people were a nomadic nation. He had graciously led them out of bondage to the Egyptians, and by his powerful hand and through the leadership of his chosen servant Moses, the Israelites were escorted, in a sense, to the base of Mount Sinai. And there God established his holy law by which his people were to live in faithful and trusting obedience to him under his authority. And included in the Lord's covenant with the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were the Lord's provisions by which God's ancient people were to demonstrate their love for him and their unwavering trust in him. And this included the means by which they were to come to him in worship and in praise and in thanksgiving. A group of our Lord's holy commands to his ancient people included the offerings that they were to bring to him as part of their worship. And in the section of Exodus 23 that we heard earlier, the Lord God makes a clearly understood command. Nobody could say they didn't know what this command meant. No one shall appear before me empty-handed. The words are quite clear. The words are easy to understand. He said to his people, no one shall appear before me empty-handed. And the Lord went on to say, the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The best, and not the leftovers. Why would God make this command of his people not to appear before him empty-handed? Well, in part, because God himself was the source of their blessings to begin with. And so the ones who brought their gift in trusting and faithful obedience were, in doing so, confirmed even more securely in their covenant relationship with God. Not that they earned it by their offerings, but rather by God's grace it was confirmed in them. Giving God our best. It really begins with the heart, doesn't it? It begins with the heart of the one who brings an offering to the Lord. A friend and fellow pastor, Reverend Warren Graff, observed in a recent article titled Freely Given from the Heart of Joy these things. The Apostle Paul sees the opportunity to give gifts itself as a gift from the Lord. And if the Lord didn't give us this opportunity, then our offerings would be merely our own human work. And our gifts would be nothing more than works righteousness that brings attention and glory to ourselves and not to the Lord God. But he goes on to say that if the Lord is giving us the opportunity to give offerings and serve others by and through those offerings, then this is a godly gift that we don't want to be left out of the opportunity to participate in. You see, in reality, you and I merely but faithfully and trustingly give God what really in the end belongs to him in the first place, doesn't it? And how quickly it could disappear from us, couldn't it? He and he alone is the creator of the universe. He and he alone is the preserver of the universe. He and he alone ultimately is the provider of all things. That's why we often speak of our offerings that we make here at church as returning to the Lord out of the abundance that he provides us as an undeserved act of his grace and his mercy toward us. Moved by the Holy Spirit of God, King David, after praising God's holy name, reflected on the awesome privilege and grace of giving to the Lord when he said these words, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able in this way to offer willingly? For all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own we have given back to you." Who among us today isn't richly blessed beyond all measure by the abundance of God's goodness and his grace and his mercy, just like King David and ancient Israel were? Who among us hasn't been provided for by the Lord with all that we need, as Luther says, to support this body and this life? Jesus speaks to you and me today. He does so in the same way that he spoke to his disciples long ago, when he teaches us the one governing principle of all Christian giving and stewardship. Freely you have received. Freely give. It's not complicated. It's easy to understand. Freely you and I have received. Freely we give. More than anything else, freely you have received the forgiveness of your sins, the forgiveness of your pride and your rebellion against God, the forgiveness of your sinful, selfish longing for more, of your discontent and your jealousy toward others and your smallness of faith and the neglect of our Lord and His Word and of everything that keeps each and every one of us from a closer relationship with Jesus. As many of you know, Kathy and I were on vacation last week. We were in Texas, and everything's bigger in Texas. We were mostly in and around the city of Houston, named, of course, after Sam Houston, who was often referred to as Big Drunk Sam Houston. He's thought to be the person most responsible for much of the lore that surrounds Texas, all this talk about everything being bigger there. Well, Mr. Houston's first marriage failed miserably. Fortunately for Sam, his second marriage was to a woman named Margaret Lee. And she was a devout Baptist woman, not from Texas, but from Alabama. And she would end up changing both his earthly life and ultimately his eternity. For years, Margaret knelt in prayer and prayed for her husband and talked with him about his need for forgiveness and his need for salvation. And finally, after 61 years of fighting the English and fighting the Mexicans and fighting fellow politicians and fighting his own sin, his life was taken over by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And he was baptized November 19, 1854 by Reverend Burleson. And as Sam was walking down to the water's edge where he was baptized, Reverend Burleson noticed that Houston still had his watch hanging on his hip. And he pointed that out to Sam, and Sam handed that watch to a friend. The pastor said, "Well, you know, you better give him your wallet too, because that was in his back pocket." "No, Pastor, I'm not going to do that, because I'm afraid it needs baptizing too." And after he was baptized in the freezing cold river water, he was congratulated by his friends. "Well, General, all your sins have been washed away." "What a wonderful thing that is." Sam replied, "If that's the case, God help the fish in the river." But how often don't our wallets need baptizing? How often don't they keep us from a living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ as faithful stewards who by God's unlimited grace have been set free from all that separates you and me from a living, breathing, life-sustaining relationship with Jesus Christ? We can today with great joy pray the wonderful words of that great stewardship hymn, "We give thee, but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a gift, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus as stewards true receive, and gladly as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give." Dear friends in Christ, God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Following the singing of the offertory, the ushers will be ushering you forward to bring both your offering for today and, if you brought your faith promise card, that as well, to be placed in the box that you see up here, and then you'll return back to your seats. We now rise to sing the offertory. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from Exodus chapter 23, select verses. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of the ingathering at the end of the year. When you gather in your crops from the field, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Here ends the epistle reading.
For the gospel reading. The holy gospel for today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with the 25th verse. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here ends the gospel lesson. Please be seated. Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, upon this your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We invite the children forward at this time. That sounds like Josh. I have a picture that I want to show you. I just want you to see what you see in that picture. Can you see the picture? Well, you'll get a chance. Can you see the picture? All right. Can you see the picture here? Can you see that? You see it? Can you see the picture? Okay, let's see if you can remember what I just showed you. What did you just see in the picture I showed you? A box. What else? Some people. What were they doing? They were putting offerings in the box. And this person who's putting an offering in the box was a very, very poor woman. She didn't hardly have anything at all. But she did not want to miss out on the opportunity to put something in the box. And so she had two little pennies. That's all she had, two pennies. And she came up and she put her pennies in the box. And there were some very, very wealthy people who had lots of pennies. But when they saw her only put two pennies in the box, they started to criticize her. But you know what? Jesus saw her put those two pennies in the box. And he said to his disciples, you know, she put in more than any of those other people who put lots of pennies in the box. And the disciples probably scratched their heads and said, well, how can that be? And Jesus explained, she only had two pennies. And so she put in everything she had. And some of the other people who came by, they had lots, but they only put in a little bit. And Jesus was praising the faith of this woman for putting in the only two pennies she had. And that's a blessing to us today, to know that God loves it when we do things out of our heart and when we give him everything we can give him. Because you know what? Who has given us everything to begin with? Jesus has. So today you can see a box up here. And today, the people that are worshiping with us today are going to bring their offerings up at the right time in the service, and they're going to put their pennies in the box, and they're also going to put a faith promise in the box if they haven't sent it into church already. Okay? You got 2 pennies today?
Yeah.
Do you? Okay, you might get a chance to put your pennies in the box. All right. Thanks for coming up. Have a great day, guys and gals.